every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
We've spent over 10 years on air, shaping a generation of action motorsports, and now we're changing the game again. The best motorsports, the best action sports, and the best of pop culture with some epic guests thrown in. I am Jim Beaver, and this is the Gentle Tire Jim Beaver Show with Good Times by Kawasaki. Hold on tight, the misadventure is just getting started. What up, what up, what up? Welcome to the Gentle Tire Jim Beaver Show on a fine, smoking, hot August day. I think here in Parker, it is about 114 degrees. And let me tell you, we're actually have a cold front moving in. Yes, it's been like 118, 119. It's been kind of gnarly. Let's just put it that way. But yes, we're here. We're in the saddle. And we have an amazing guest, good friend of mine, two-time NHRA world champion, crazy great marketer, also has a marketing firm that helps race car drivers find money. She's not a headhunter. She just helps race car drivers find money and athletes and whoever else. And now she's transitioning into having a little bit of fun in the world of off-road, something I know a little bit about. So Megan Meyer going to be my guest this week. Really excited about that. It's going to take the better part of an hour. Probably going to run over. You're probably going to have to go to YouTube, watch that version of the show to get the entire interview because I know it's going to be that long. But yes, Megan Meyer, my guest this week, really excited about that. Me, myself, I've been in Oceanside the last couple of days in California on the beach with the good weather. But I was there with my good friend Matt Martelli that owns the Mint 400, Mad Media, does a lot of my video projects. We recorded a podcast over there. This one I was the guest on. Matt and I actually do a lot of podcasts together, tag team them, but he wanted to interview me about my story, and man, that thing's going to come out in a couple of weeks. You're going to want to watch it. That's going to be on my YouTube channel and theirs as well, but man, we got deep. He pulled some stuff out of me I've never talked about before, and those of you who have been listening to me the last 15 years and 1,000-plus episodes know that talked about just about everything. Well, my good friend Matt, he pulled some of it out of me that I've never talked about before. But we're going to take a short commercial break because when we come back, we're jumping into things with Megan Meyer, the two-time world champion, when we turn here on the Gentle Tire Jim Beaver Show. Making the most of every moment can be demanding, which is why at Gentle Tire, we think you should demand more from your tires. For more than a century, we've made great all-around tires that always deliver the right combination of performance, durability, style, and value. Whether you're looking at the ultra-high-performance summer tires for your street rod or the best-in-class all-weather tire for your family crossover, Gentle Tire delivers for those who demand more from their tires. Find your fit at GentleTire.com. Gentle Tire, the official tire of the Jim Beaver Show. Are you sick and tired of spilling gas all over your hands, your gear, and your machine? Well, ditch the tilt and spill jug nonsense and fuel up with SureCan. Designed with a rotating spout and thumb trigger control, SureCan lets gravity do the work. No mess, no awkward angles, just point, press, and pour. Upgrade your gas can right now at SureCanUSA.com. That's SureCanUSA.com. Feed your machines, not the mess.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing. So why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
General Tire offers a wide variety of options that are designed to deliver for whatever life brings your way. Whether you have a truck, car, or SUV, General Tire delivers for whatever you drive. From the long-lasting all-season Altimax RT43 to the aggressive all-terrain Grabber ATX, General Tire covers on-road performance, off-road capability, and durability. General Tire delivers. For more information, drive over to GeneralTire.com. General Tire, official tire of the Jim Beaver Show. Are you relying on your vehicle for work and fun? Well, your gear deserves better. With Tuffy Security Products, you can secure your tools, firearms, laptops, and everyday essentials without sacrificing space or style. Tuffy offers lockable storage that stands up to smash and grabs, job site theft, and off-road abuse. Made from heavy-duty steel with an OEM fit and aftermarket strength. It's real protection for a real peace of mind. Find out more at TuffyProducts.com.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Like what you're hearing? Do us a favor and head over to Apple Podcasts and rate, review, and subscribe to the General Tire Jim Beaver Show with Good Times by Kawasaki and never miss another show. Welcome to the General Tire Jim Beaver Show. And for those of you listening nationally, I guess welcome back from the break. Those of you on YouTube, you're just getting your first glimpse of my guest this week, Megan Meyer. Welcome to the show, Megan.
Hey, Jim. Thank you so much for having me on.
This is going to be fun. We got a lot of mutual friends. You and I have started talking more and more, and you've got a pretty crazy career. You know, and it's, I was just doing a little research. I'm like, there's actually a lot of parallels between you and I, like growing up in a family racing, you know, thing, exposed to it at a very young age. Like, you know, you shifted into marketing, and I'm reading through, I'm like, man, there's like literally like a parallel to my career, you know, in some regards. And so, been kind of all over the place. Now you're shifting to off-road.
Yes. Now going into dirt track racing, which I have no experience with that. So I'm starting all over again.
I will say there's something about drag racers going off-road. So when I did Star Car, Steve Torrance and Antron Brown came out and raced with me, and both of them dear friends of mine. And they absolutely fell in love with UTV racing after that. And I think the draw for them, and you can probably chime in on this, Antron did one lap at the Mint, and he comes back. He goes, Jim, he goes, I just raced more in a couple hours than I have my entire career. He goes, I just started laughing. And I'm like, you know, I guess you were in the car for 2.5 hours. And when you're used to doing, you know, 4 second runs, I'm like, yeah, it probably is the entire length of your career.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny because, and that's like I just told you about my husband. So he comes from dirt bike background and he does the hair scrambles. So yeah, for him,
he's gnarly. Hair scrambles are gnarly.
Yeah. So he, I'll be honest, he is not a fan of drag racing because he's like, I don't understand. You spend hours working on the car just to run for a few seconds and then you've got to do it all over again.
Well, what's gnarly to me about drag racing too is I'd always watched it on TV. I'd been to some, like, to me, drag racing, one, it's much better in person than it is on television.
Yes. Yeah.
But the open pits and things like that. And obviously I've got a lot of friends. So it's like, I've gone to some events with Torrance's and stuff, like, you know, at least in Top Fuel and Funny Car, it's crazy the amount of, you know, they do one run for, you know, what, 3 to 4 seconds, come back and the entire car is torn down, engine, everything redone. And I'm like, it is wild. Like, and it's almost like a ballet. It's like choreographed dancing, you know, the way they get those back together to go and do another run. And to me, it's like, people on TV, they see that, but I'm like, you have to go, you have to watch the pits. One, you need to feel that concussion in your chest. But yeah, it's like drag racing to me is such a, it literally plays on so many different senses. It's like a sensory overload.
Mm-hmm. It is. And yeah, if you ever get to stand on the starting line, the best spot is to stand right in the middle between the two cars, because then you're getting all the horsepower, you know, the vibrations and the noise and the smell. You get everything from both cars. And not very many people get to stand in the middle. Usually you have to stand off to, you know, to the side and behind them, just in case anything were to ever happen. But that's the best spot because, yeah, it's sensory overload. It's all of your senses. Like, it's, yeah, TV does not do it justice. I love drag racing because it is such an adrenaline rush. I just wish it was longer.
Well, that's, I've stood in the water box at the Four Wides in Vegas. Yeah. And you know, when Top Fuel cars go off and you're in the water box and it's the Four Wides, it literally, like, I'm like, it feels like you've got a pro boxer that punches you in the chest. Your eyes are burning, your lungs are burning. You know, obviously your earplugs are in and it's still loud. I'm like, it's just the craziest. And then you get just blasted with hot rubber and it's melting and burning your skin. And everyone is like, sounds miserable. I'm like, it is the most amazing thing I've ever felt.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. But let's go back to the beginning. We talked about that. Like, obviously you grew up around drag racing. I know you started at a pretty young age. I mean, how was that? Because, I mean, like me, I mean, I grew up on off-road. I just did an interview with my buddy Matt Martelli. He said, when was your first off-road race? And I was like, I think I was 3 weeks old. Like, I mean, so like with you, how soon were you exposed to it at a young age?
I would say the same. I don't know exactly. And I don't know if my parents know exactly how old I was when they took me to my first race. But, you know, it was right when my dad, so I was born in 93, and in the late 80s, early 90s was when my dad was running Top Fuel. Mm-hmm. And right after that was when he transitioned out of that and moved into the top alcohol class, which is what we do now. So he was, you know, he was just all or nothing with it. And he, like, unfortunately, he wasn't very successful at it, and it is super expensive. So that's you know, biggest reason why he did step down in classes. But yeah, I mean, ever since I can remember, I've always been going to the racetrack. And I got started driving when I was 10 years old with a junior dragster. I have a little sister, Rachel, who is 2 years younger. So back then, the minimum age to start was 8 years old. So we had to wait till she was eight. And then we got a pair of juniors from a pair of older brothers that were aging out and, you know, getting rid of everything there was. And my dad knew nothing about how to run a junior dragster. You know, he didn't grow up racing. It wasn't something he got into till he was like 19 or 20 years old, because his oldest brother, my Uncle Joe, had introduced it to him. And so, yeah, it was very new, but thankfully my Uncle Joe, he has three kids that are older than me. And so they all had juniors. So we got to kind of learn from our cousins of how to run a junior, like what all you need for it. And I remember my very first pass. I still remember the first pass I made down the drag strip. And my dad was like, you know, before he started the car, he leaned in and he was like, okay, I don't know what it's going to do, but if it shakes the tires, just pedal it. And like, I knew what that meant from watching him do it all the time, but like, neither of us knew that, like, it's a junior dragster. Like, it's only got like 30 horsepower. Like, it's not going to shake the tires, but, you know, and it's only eighth mile that we're running to as the kids. And it goes out, I don't know, a couple hundred feet. And I'm just like, I don't know what it feels like to shake the tires. Like, everything's just vibrating. And so I just like let off the gas and got back on. And then afterwards, everyone was like, why did you do that? And I was like, well, I think it was shaking the tires. I don't know. And they're like, no, you're good. Like, just stay in it the whole time.
Yeah. One of those, when it happens, you'll know. And
yeah, and that wasn't it.
That's funny. But was it one of those, like, after that first, you know, the first run or the first pass, you're just like, yeah, I like this.
Yes, I was like hooked immediately. I have always been like taking it super serious, been super competitive with it. I'd be the one polishing my wheels in the pits while all the other kids are out playing football. I was just obsessed with it. And I remember I got my first one was my second race that I did at our just local track here in Kansas City. And so ever since that, just wanted to give it 100% and really take it seriously. So I did have quite a bit of success with the junior dragsters. I won 2 track championships. I almost got a third in my last year, but ego got in the way and messed up on my last race there and kind of threw that one away. But I learned a lot about the passion that you need to become a professional racer, because like at that time, my dad was, he was still taking his career very seriously. So he was gone quite a bit and couldn't take us to the races and couldn't teach us stuff. So it was either my mom, my uncle, or we would just try to find like other parents that could take my sister and I to the racetrack until I was old enough to drive the truck and trailer myself. And we had to work for it. We had to find a way to get to the track if we wanted to race.
All right. So I know this next part's going to be really, really good. So we're going to take a short commercial break. We'll be back with more with Megan Meyer when we return here to the General Tire Jim Beaver Show.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both airline and hotel with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Like what you're hearing? Do us a favor and head over to Apple Podcasts and rate, review, and subscribe to the General Tire Jim Beaver Show with Good Times by Kawasaki and never miss another show. Welcome back to the General Tire Jim Beaver Show. Talking with my good friend Megan Meyer, and we've been talking about parents getting in are getting us into racing. So Megan, was it one of those, like with your dad? Cause like with my dad, he never pushed me in. It was just like, I was the one pushing him. I want to race. And like,
yeah.
Like my parents never pushed me into anything. It was just like, hey, we'll let you, if you want to go play baseball, play baseball. If you want to race, you can do what you want. But to me, it was like, I want to race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were exactly like that. Yeah. Like my dad, you know, he obviously opened the door and showed me what could be possible with it. And he was not nearly successful back then as he is now. You know, he might have won like one or two races a year, but I could see how much time and energy and money that he poured into it just to be able to, you know, have that chance. And so he showed me like, hey, if you want to be top dog, you know, like you've got to do this and go above, you know, above and beyond what everybody else is doing, because they're kind of treating it more like a hobby. And so I knew that I wanted to be a professional race car driver when I was a kid. I wanted to be like my dad or you know, go above and beyond that, you know, go up to the top fuel ranks and all that. But they opened the door, but they never really pushed me through. And my dad also wanted to see like how passionate my sister and I were about it, because he didn't buy us the nicest, newest cars. We got hand-me-down stuff, and we got hand-me-down fire suits. I think the only thing new we got was a helmet. And that's only because he, you know, was friends with a guy that had a bike shop. And so he like gave him a deal on helmets or whatever for us. So we got like the oldest worn out stuff, and really wanted us to show, hey, like we're into this. And so then we would just get a little bit nicer stuff each year. And I didn't get like a brand new race car until I was like 15 years old. And when it was like, hey, I can go and take the car to the track by myself, like I can show I'm in it 100%. Then I can, you know, earn the, you know, the nicer car, the nicer stuff and that type of stuff, get my own paint job on the car and all that stuff. And that's kind of how, now that I'm a parent, how we want to raise our son, because it's so easy to be like, oh, well, we need to get the fastest and the best thing out there. But then it's like, no, we need to like start at the bottom and like work our way up, and, you know, not spoil him, but show him, hey, like you've got to work hard, learn the skills to drive in something that is slower. And, you know, we'll actually teach you and make you a better driver for when you do get something that's newer and might be easier to drive.
And that's how my dad was. You know, he had, you know, it was a smaller team, you know what I mean? And he had to struggle for sponsorship and stuff like that. You know, and he had, you know, the family business that he was running that helped out. But it was like, even when I started racing, he was like, all right, here's, you know, he had his older truck that was sitting there, and it was, you know, he goes, you know, you're going to have to prep it. You're going to have to work on it. I'll help when you need help. I'll help. But here's a list of what needs to be done. You need to do it.
Yeah.
Well, it was one of those, even like sponsorship, it's like, you know, he helped out the first couple of races, got me going. And that was when I really started getting into sponsorship. I was like, I want to race for him. My dad's like, we don't have that money. And he goes, you need to go find it. And so that was when I really got into sponsor. And I, you know, I started studying, and this is early 2000s. So it was like pre-social media, things like that, you know, but it was like, really had to get creative in what I was offering. And I learned, it was trial by fire. You know what I mean? I was sending proposals out, nothing was coming back, but it was one of those where my dad, he could have helped more, but I'm thankful he didn't, because it was like, let's see how hungry you really are. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dad's exactly. Like, I can support you to do one, maybe two races a year. He goes, you want to go to three or four? He goes, that's on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's like, I mean, like I said, we're trying to keep that mindset with Henry, because we want him to get into racing. I mean, he just turned four. Yeah. So he doesn't know what he wants to do. He'd rather play with Legos right now, you know? And so we don't want to push it on him, but yeah, we, you know, we kind of hope that he follows in our footsteps, you know, whether that is drag racing or short course or dirt bikes or whatever else it is. We want to make sure that he shows us, like, when he's ready for it, we'll be there to help him, but we still want him to do it his way too.
Yeah. Well, and I think, like, at least for me, when I was a kid, there wasn't that many options for racing. Like, it seems like regardless of what kids want to race, there's so many more options now. You know, it was like, you know, now there's kids that are 4 years old racing something, you know, and it's like, you know, when I was the same way, like when I was a kid, like you almost had to have a driver's license to go off road racing unless you want to race a dirt bike or a quad. You know, there wasn't these small UTVs, there wasn't feeder classes, things like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And same thing, like in drag racing, I feel like with the junior dragsters, like that was still kind of new when I got started in it. I think it only been around like maybe 10 years before that, like maybe not even that long. I don't know when they first came out, but it was 2004 when I started. So I don't feel like it had that much time before that. But yeah, there wasn't very many options. And now there's like, yeah, kids can do all different types of cars and drag racing. And it's crazy to see how it's evolved.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess your progression, you know, obviously start out with the junior dragsters. How did you kind of work your way up the ladder system to get, you know what I mean? How did that work out?
Yeah. So I've only run in three different classes. So the juniors and top alcohol dragster. But between that, there's a class that's called Super Comp. And those are 99% dragsters. You can run a roadster or what we call like a door car in those classes, but most of the time it's dragsters. And those cars go quarter mile. They do about 170 to like 190 miles per hour. Mm-hmm. It's 7 to 8 seconds. And so going from a junior dragster that's eighth mile, and by that time I was going about 80 miles per hour to the Super Comp, it's a big jump. And the car is twice as big. There's a lot more room, like in the roll cage. You have to learn how to back up from a burnout, because in a junior dragster you don't back up. And so there's just a lot to learn. So I went to Frank Holly's drag racing school to get my Super Comp license, because again, my dad knew zero about Super Comps. He had never driven one. He didn't know what to do. And it's funny because the team has a story. So Frank Holly's school is based out of Florida, but they do travel to other states and other drag strips. And so, but they're based out of Florida. And the first like national event that my dad always goes to is the Gator Nationals. And that's where Frank Holly's school is. And so Monday after the Gator Nationals, they'll start the school, and it's a 2-day thing. And so I was still in school, because I'm in high school. I'm a junior in high school. And so I was still in school. So my dad had brought my Super Comp car like in the trailer with him. He was doing some testing in his top alcohol dragster, and had never run the Super Comp car before. And he was just like, I'm going to take you down the track and see how this thing goes. And like, again, doesn't know what to do, doesn't know how to set up or anything, like just rolls it out of the trailer and goes make a pass. And he's just like, it feels really weird. And then they realized the guys never checked the tire pressure, and that one tire had like 5 or 6 pounds, the other one had like 10 pounds. It's just like, hey, like you should probably check that before you make a run. But so yeah, so we're completely learning as I'm trying to progress through the ranks, because that is kind of like the middle step. And so going to the school taught me how to drive the car, but it didn't teach me like how to work on it. So I actually was not any good at Super Comp racing. I think I made it to one final round and got runner up at our local track, but it's just incredibly competitive, and even more now than it was back then. And this was I was 16 when I got started racing. So this was 15 years ago when I started doing that class. But it's so like, it's down to the thousandths of a second of how you could win or lose, because it's all about like reaction time is way more important in those classes than it is kind of in the top alcohol class. And you have to be able to, it's very confusing to watch, because they have an index that you have to run a certain number. And so you can't go faster, because then you'll lose. But if you go slower than that, then the other person, you know, could be faster and they could beat you. So it's just there's so much more like driver skill that goes into it. And the weather plays such a big factor in how the car is going to run. So you got to change the tune-up every single run. You might have to change tire pressure every run. Like it, there's so many more factors to it where like with the juniors, it was just all you'd have to do is like maybe change the carburetor and that was it. And so, so it took a lot to learn. I did that class for 6 years. So junior and senior year of high school, and then all through college, I raced that. And again, that was something where I had to do it completely on my own and with my little sister, because she also got a super comp car. And so my dad wanted nothing to do with it. He hated like the index racing. He's like, he's the heads up guy. So he's like, I'm not going to slow down my car, you know, just to try to race this other guy. He's like, I'm going to go as fast as I can so I can win the race. So he's like, this is your thing. I'm hands off. He's like, I'll help you, you know, rebuild a motor, but that's it. And so we really like had to learn how to race. And so my sister still does that to this day. When I jumped into the top alcohol dragster, we sold that car. And looking back now, I wish we would have kept it, because that type of racing, it's like, you know, I say like with top alcohol dragster, it's 80, 90% about the car, 10, maybe 20% is driver skill. And the super comp or any of the index style racing, it's about like 50-50, if not more, leaning towards the driver skill. So it's just more challenging. And I feel like there's a lot more, you know, like accomplishment that you can get out of that as a driver. Cause you don't need a crew. It's all about, you know, how the driver can do. And so I kind of wish we kept that, because now, like, you know, looking for something to get into with racing, like I'm looking for that challenge. I wish we would have kept that car, cause it was a good car.
It's funny you say that, because I've sold off a couple of cars or race cars in my past that, you know, I wish I would have kept now in retrospect, because it's like, man, it would have just been fun to go out and race those. And I love the challenge of that class. But anyways, we're going to cut you off. We're going to take a short commercial break. We'll be back more with Megan here on the General Tire Jim Beaver Show.
The John Deere Gator XUV lets you cut, pack, drive, scout, weld, stack, feed, pull, load, tow, spray, and haul all in a single day. Because with the highest cargo box volume in its class, customizable features, and a towing capacity of up to 4,000 pounds, it gets the job done. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/GatorXUV.
If you didn't think skipping breakfast was a big deal, you'd be right. Before. But now, Wendy's has Buck Biscuits. We're talking sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit, bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, or even the honey buddy chicken biscuit for just a buck each. Seriously, you can get all three if you want. They're just a buck, so you'll never skip breakfast again. If you're smart. Breakfast for a buck? Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Limit 5 qualifying items per transaction. Not valid in the combo while supplies last.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Hi, it's me, Flo, here to tell you that with the Progressive Home and Auto Bundle, you get 24/7 protection, so you're covered no matter where the day takes you.
Even I added too much water to the pizza dough day?
Yep.
How about getting a call from my daughter to pick her up at the airport because her boyfriend is unreliable day?
Especially that day.
What about finding out that one of my pipes suddenly burst in my basement day?
Progressive has every day covered 24/7 with a Home and Auto Bundle. Also, you have a lot of bad days.
Oh no, that was all the same day.
At least you're covered with Progressive.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Are you a fan of paranormal radio? Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, hauntings, cryptids, true crime? After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez airs live on Sports Byline every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, talking all manner of the strange and unusual. From the latest news of the weird to interviews with the top names in the field, After Dark is your source for paranormal radio. Check it out, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, every Wednesday, live on Sports Byline USA.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Like what you're hearing? Do us a favor and head over to Apple Podcasts and rate, review, and subscribe to the General Tire Jim Beaver Show with Good Times by Kawasaki and never miss another show. Welcome back here to the General Tire Jim Beaver Show. We've got Megan Meyer here. And Megan, so when we left off at the break, you were talking about Supercomp and kind of transitioning out of that into the next division.
But yeah, so I did that for 6 years. Was not good at it at all, but it taught me a lot of how to race and you know, again, more independence, learning how to work on cars, you know, just the, yeah, like the passion and the drive you have to have, especially when you're losing every single race. Like, you've really got to pick yourself back up to go to that next race. So I learned a lot in that, and I feel like that really did set me up going into Top Alcohol Dragster, because you know, that was the plan. That my dream was to do that. That's what my dad was doing. And by this time, so he did go through a period where he, I think it was 3 years, he did not win a single race. Like, it, you know, he says like he got depressed. He almost quit because he was doing so bad, but thankfully he was able to figure something out with the cars, you know, turn the corner or whatever and start having a lot of success with it. So he was on the rise. The time that I was coming into it, and we had an agreement that I had to graduate from college and I had to get all A's with school. He was very strict on school. And so once I graduated, then he would give me a chance, and he's like, I'll give you 1 year for free, but after that, you've got to pay for it. And so that's where the marketing and the sponsorship knowledge, I mean, just like you, like I had to learn how to raise my own funding to race, even though, yeah, it was with my dad's team, but it's not cheap and it's not free. And
money,
so that's where, yeah, I learned how to get sponsorships.
Well, and what, I guess, what, like date wise, what kind of year? Cause I want to put it into perspective on what was going on digitally and stuff like that. So like when was that when you really started like, oh, I got to figure out how to fund this, that first year that your dad paid for, what was that year?
Yeah. So my rookie year is 2016.
Okay.
But we spent 3 years testing and training and all that before that. So I went to college with the, like the desire to learn a skill to use something that could help me with racing. Yeah. And so, I actually, when I started school, I triple majored in marketing, communications, and graphic design, because I was already, I was doing those things for my dad, because, so when I graduated from high school, it was 2011. So this was when like Facebook was starting to get big. Like we went through the MySpace era. But then like he had like had a website for the first time. So I had to update the website. He, you know, had someone that was writing up press releases for him. So I had to learn how to do that and email them to his partners that he had and his sponsors. You know, I had, like, he taught me how to use a camera and like take pictures and all that. So I was learning those skills to be able to help him out. And, through that, I was able to start building the relationships with those partners and, you know, them getting to know who I was, because at that time, like, you know, I was just a little kid before that, but now it's like, hey, like, oh, you know, she's taking this serious, like she's, you know, she's moving up. So we should keep our eye on her and all that. So, So 2011 was when I graduated from high school, and I was like, I know nothing about graphic design. Like, I've only learned this stuff just through racing. So I want to like get a formal education in it, really learn what could help me out and help, you know, help me, because yeah, like we had that conversation. I was like, okay, so I need to build up my name and my brand to be able to get some funding so I can go racing. And I eventually dropped the marketing and communications because it was just, it was too much for me and I didn't love it. I liked, you know, writing press releases, but I didn't like writing essays and all that type of stuff. So I dropped that. So I just stuck with the graphic design, and I knew nothing about how to use Photoshop or Illustrator. Like, I've never created a logo before. So I was starting at the very bottom. You know, I'm with these kids who have been in art classes for years, and like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I was like, I just want to go racing. So I had to learn a lot. But thankfully the teachers and the staff there, they were so supportive, and they knew what drag racing was because the drag strip was only 20 minutes from campus. Okay. So, if they had never been to the track before, they drove by it all the time. So they're like, oh, you race there. I was like, yeah. So can I make some t-shirts so I can sell them at the track this weekend? So I learned a lot about, just like marketing design. And I was also taking social media classes. So again, when Facebook is really taking off, like being a content creator wasn't a thing back then. It was just, hey, make a page for yourself and start posting, you know, just give people updates, what you were doing. Like, I also had a blog. And so it's just like, hey, you know, this weekend I raced here and this is how I did. And so that's how it started. And like, people really took notice to that because no other race teams were doing that. Like if they were on social media, it was still just more like their personal page. Like, they didn't have a business page set up, or they would just only do an update maybe like once a month or something like that. Like, whenever they won a race, but they wouldn't post anything else in between. And I was like, every single day I was putting a piece of content out there, not knowing what I was doing or like where it would take me, but I was just like, hey, like, I enjoy doing this, and I'm just gonna see where it goes.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, that is funny you mentioned like social, and I guess unfortunately, like, I've got a business and marketing degree, and I laugh because when I graduated college, what was it, 2004 I think I graduated, but like, there was no social media involved in my marketing. Yeah. None. It was like, it was more print ads, radio, television, you know, it was newspaper. Mm-hmm. Like, it was marketing just didn't, you know, the email marketing was kind of there. Websites were banner ads. That was a big deal, you know, but I laugh because it's like, from the time I got that degree, like, in the next 5 years, stuff just spiraled like a completely different direction.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
It's funny when Facebook and that came, because I had a Twitter account before I actually had a Facebook account. But it was like, you're right. Like, you know, websites, blogs were a big deal, you know, and Facebook and Twitter, well, Twitter's actually very similar to how it was, but Facebook was vastly different. You know, it was just like, and video wasn't a thing. You know, I was telling somebody this week when we did a podcast, I go, like, when I started my podcast, I go, one, people didn't even know what a podcast was. That's why we called it a radio show at the time. But I go, like, video was so expensive to do. Like, even YouTube was in its infancy, because like, to do YouTube or to do video for like, you just couldn't do it because it was so expensive. GoPros weren't around. You know, it was like, you know, if you wanted to, you know, there was all kinds of wonky, you know, cameras that you could get and strap onto something, but video, you know, cell phone video wasn't really good. It was grainy and horrible. And, you know, it was just funny. Like, in that era, it's like, now everything's so easy, so accessible. It's so, you know, doing live video is so easy now. Like, back then, you need a whole production truck to do a live video.
Yeah. It's crazy how it's evolved so fast, too.
Yeah, you know, but it's like, man, you coming in at the time you did, I'm just trying to think, like, Facebook was big. Yeah, Twitter was still pretty relevant. Instagram, I think when Instagram was, I mean, Instagram came out, it took a couple of years before Instagram even got, I started my Instagram account, and then I think I didn't touch it for like 2 years. Because it wasn't a thing. And then Instagram just blew up. But it's just funny. It was a whole different wild west of social media. There was no such thing as algorithms and that garbage now. It was just like, you posted and whoever posted the most recent thing popped up in your feed.
Yeah. It was so much easier back then. I remember. Yeah. Because when I was a freshman in school was when Instagram like kind of just came out. So it was just like, and it was like just photo, like just square photos
and the weird filters.
Yes, and the weird filters. I don't think you could do carousels, so I think it was just like the single photo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but Facebook has always been my strongest, and Facebook was my OG. Like, I've been on it, you know, I don't know however long it's been. But even to this day, Facebook is still my strongest as far as engagement, like number of followers, video views that I get. Like, I really try with Instagram, and it just like, There was a period where it was going up, and now it's just going downhill again. And so I really just focus on Facebook for both my account and the Randy Meyer Racing Team account. And also the great thing with Facebook is that it's monetized for us now. So I get a nice little kickback each month. I tried the Instagram bonus program, but it was like max of $3 a month. And it's like, well, this isn't worth it.
Instagram's weird. It's gone. For me lately, it's way down. Facebook's actually made a resurgence, but like those Instagram checks, there's been months where I've got $500-$600, and then there's months where I get like 67 cents. And I'm like, how do I go from $500 to 67 cents? It's like, it's weird. But Facebook, like in the last month, my Facebook traction, I don't know what they changed in the algorithm. It's gone crazy. I mean, we're talking like pre-pandemic engagement and numbers. And I'm like, I'm not throwing boosts. I'm not doing anything. And it wasn't just one post that went viral. It's like a bunch of posts all of a sudden just started getting traction. And I'm like, well, what's going on with Facebook? I kind of like this because like I built this following, and then Facebook kind of, it went away for a while. And now I'm like, oh, people in my following are actually seeing stuff. It's not pay to play anymore.
I have fallen into the trap to boost post, so I really don't recommend that people do that, because it ends up hurting you in the long run. But I do recommend using ads for content. Any like sponsored post that you do as an organic post, like I'll just convert it to an ad, and yeah, it'll do great.
Yeah, I've done ads. Ads get pretty good reach. Only time I boost anymore, especially, well, Facebook or Instagram, is if I've got like a, like my video project with that Ford car that we just released, Livewire. Like I threw a boost behind that, you know, but it was like, you know, we needed to, you know, and then the numbers went really crazy. But, you know, like boosting has its place, but like I knew people for a while that every single post was just, we're throwing $5 behind them. Like, don't do that. Because Facebook knows. And then they're like, oh, this guy's a sucker.
Exactly.
We're not gonna let anybody see this until you give us money.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
So well, and I guess, how did things like spiral for you? I say spiral, normally that's a bad thing. I mean, in a good way. But on the marketing side, because you went from obviously, you know, doing self-marketing stuff for your dad's team. But now, I mean, you know, I think I first met you through Alex Stryler and, you know, some of the stuff that he's doing. But like, how's that steamrolled? Because now it's become this whole like business for you.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So so to kind of go back, when I was in school, like, you know, studying this stuff, just our other friends that race, they'd come to me and be like, hey, like, I like these hero cards you made. Like, could you make me a hero card, or could you make me a t-shirt? And I'd be like, yeah, sure, no problem. So just started doing freelance work just for friends, and you know, wasn't charging anything or very, very little back then. And I realized like, oh, maybe this could be, you know, like my source of income, because at that same time I'm trying to think, okay, I'm getting ready to graduate. I don't have a job yet, but I want something where I could work remotely, like as a designer, so I can go and race and travel whenever I want to. And back then, like being a work from home designer or remote designer, like really wasn't a thing. No, like, like you had to go into an office or into an agency. And so I just like, I didn't really see where I could fit in and get what I wanted, which was time off to go racing. And so, so I just kind of like just kept on that, started posting stuff on social media, you know, like, hey, if does anybody need a hero card design or a website design, like I can do it for you. And so I was just able to like get some clients from racers, and I just used social media to promote it. And yeah, it just kind of snowballed into something a lot bigger over the years, to where through social media, I was able to like racers from other types of motorsports and even like other countries were reaching out to me and be like, hey, like we want hero card, or we want a logo design, or we want a website, or then that led into, hey, we want you to do our social media.
All right. So there is a lot more to this interview. It goes on for another 20 or 30 minutes, but we're up against the time barrier here on the national show. Head over to our YouTube channel. It's at JimBeaver15. Catch the rest of the Megan Meyer interview. Big thanks to Megan for coming on the show. We're going to take a short commercial break. We'll be back after this to wrap things up here on the General Tire Jim Beaver Show.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
And we are here to wrap things up on the General Tire Jim Beaver Show. Big shout out to my friend Megan. Like I said, phenomenal interview. We probably cut it short by 20 or 30 minutes here on the national show. Head over to our YouTube channel at JimBeaver15 and give it a listen. And it's also the video version. Also, you know, at JimBeaver15 on all social media. Big thanks to our partners in the show, General Tire. We've got Ford and the all-electric Mustang Mach-E Rally. We got Tuffy Security Products, SureCan, Rigid Industries. Man, we got some banger partners. Misadventure Life. Head over to misadventure-life.com and you can check out all of our merch that we've got for sale. And yeah, just thank you guys for tuning in. Obviously, big banger interviews coming up. We got Rick Thorne, pro BMX rider. I got a laundry list of interviews. Also, probably going to do a Q&A show at some point because, man, we got so many questions rolling in. And big shout out to my friends at Core Racing, Arizona-based series, now expanding into California as well. A 10-round, 5-event series just announced. And I will be the television host on Racer Network. Really, really big things coming in regards to that series. Stoked to be a part of it. So big announcements coming on my end. And, yeah, just really stoked on life right now. And I don't know. Looks like I got a few trade shows and a couple car builds coming in down the pipeline as well. So you guys are just going to have to hang tight and wait for that. And, yeah, we will see you next time right here on the General Tire Jim Beaver Show. And be watching Instagram. Some cool reels dropping soon.